I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Brooke Wise. Brooke is the founder of Wise Matchmaking, which is a company located in both Manhattan and South Florida. Brooke spent 10 years in the financial services industry, on Wall Street, in investor relations, and in the hedge fund world before starting Wise Matchmaking. Brooke has an MBA from the Stern School of Business at NYU and a BS from the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. Brooke, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Brooke, it sounds like there is, at least from the name of your current company and the field that you worked in for a number of years, that there was something that happened that may have led you to move from financial services to Wise Matchmaking.
Sure. Yeah. No, I was in financial services. I always was on the people-facing side of it. So I was always connecting people for investments and financial purposes. So different, obviously different than setting people up and, you know, matchmaking, but there are a lot of similarities. And, this was something I always enjoyed doing and had a lot of success doing before I started it. And, you know, found to be very gratifying. And I always, felt that if you're doing something you love doing, you're going to succeed at it, even though if it could be a longer road. So while I was, you know, happy in my role, it was not ultimately, you know, where I saw myself, what I saw myself doing. So with that, I started Wise Matchmaking from nothing, 4 years ago, with just this notion that this is something I love to do, and I do have a business background, and I'm gonna, you know, really start this and see. I do think there was, you know, a need for it, and that was pretty much the beginning. And Wise Matchmaking, Wise is my married name, but it works well for a matchmaking company. And it was literally like, let me see if the Wise Matchmaking URL is taken or not. It was open. And I was like, it's a sign. So that was the first beginnings.
It's interesting how things work out. And how's it been going since you started your company?
It's, you know, I'm at the point where it's a business. It's not like a, you know, the initial part that was difficult was just telling family, friends, people who knew me, you know, from the business world that this is what I was doing, that I'm a matchmaker. Like, that was the hardest part, is, you know, most people would be like, really? You know, you do this for a living? You know, like, that was, so the hardest part was me really embracing it and, you know, saying this is fully what I'm doing. And once I really did that and became very comfortable with that, the business has grown. I mean, it grew very significantly the first couple of years. We're continuing to grow, you know, as we're in our, you know, third year. And, you know, it's, I don't feel like we're not a, you know, a Fortune 500 company, obviously, but, you know, we're a growing business. We're not a, you know, a startup, really.
You know, it's interesting. You hit upon something that we see quite frequently, which is the founder or the owner of a business has a particular passion that he or she is following and pursuing. But there are lots of people who are part of the circle and the network of the founder or the owner who don't quite get it.
Yeah.
And who raise all kinds of questions like you're doing what? Why would you do that?
Yeah. And there are a lot of people who, you know, they'll really hunt around because it's, you know, you know, they'll ask a lot of, like, in regular society, like, very probing questions, like, how many clients do you have? Like, and they know what your price point is. Like, it's like you don't ask a doctor how many patients does he see. You know, you don't ask different professions such probing questions. So I've just become very comfortable with, you know, people. Part of it is curiosity. Part of it is, you know, just genuine curiosity. And part of it is, you know, disbelief. Or there are a lot of naysayers who are like, you know, that are not going to believe in what you do. But, you know, you know the value that you provide and how you're helping people. And you are the ultimate one who, you know, you answer to. You know, you don't, they're not answering to, you know, the people who, you know, are at your daughter's school or, you know, like, and a lot of it is, you know, people would love to do this themselves. They would love to come up with a business that they really want to do and start it and have the guts to do it. And starting, and so many businesses fail. So you have to also put it into perspective, you know, where it's coming from and not take it so seriously. But yeah, that was a bit disarming, like, because when I worked in finance, no one would ask me, like, I was a fundraiser for a hedge fund, how much money did you raise for your hedge fund this year? Like, no one would ask me that, you know, like, whereas, like, in what I do, like, there's a lot of, you know, very, very personal business, because business is, when it's your own business, it's very personal, you know.
It's very personal. So what kinds of tips can you offer to other people who are facing the same kind of reaction from those around them to try to be resilient and overcome the resistance that you're feeling from your supporters?
Yeah, I mean, if you're starting a brand new business that's very different than what you were doing before, it's just to really, I mean, even it's as simple as like when you go to a doctor's office and they say, what do you do? You know, you say, like for my case, I'm a matchmaker. You know, like, I, you know, you say what it is, even if it's unconventional. And most likely, if anything, it will draw some interest, you know, and someone will be like, really? Like, I happen to know somebody. Like, it's not, you're not going to get automatically like a negative response. You know, you can't just think that. You know, most likely you're going to get something positive. So I would say really fully embrace it. Like, I have, like, I put a personal message on my cell phone. Obviously, I have a lot of people call my cell phone, but it says my business, you know, it says it on my cell phone. I think, like, little things like that just more, it reinforce that this is what you're doing. And, you know, and I think, yeah, and I think just to fully be, you know, comfortable at, you know, it's saying like, yeah, this is what I'm doing. I've always been passionate about it. And there's a great need for it. And telling them about what you do and always use it as like more, you know, and more often than not, you're going to get a lot of people who find it interesting, not the other way.
What have been some of your biggest successes since you started Wise Matchmaking?
I mean, the real successes for us is, you know, I always, you know, it is a bit of a zero-sum game with us where we were very much a word-of-mouth business. So if we get somebody into a relationship or married and having children, like that's like a major success story. And then they then tell others at the wedding, you know, they mention it and we get a lot of business from that. So one of our earliest clients who fortunately for us happened to be somebody that was high profile, we and had never had a serious relationship, but very highly educated, you know, a woman who I guess in the matchmaking world is considered more difficult to get a woman and I guess over the age of 35, I could say that because I'm 36, so it's fine. But over the age of 35 is considered, you know, a tougher demo because the reality is there are, you know, there are a lot more single women than men, especially in New York, and it's very competitive. And as you get older, it gets more difficult. So anyway, one of our early clients who was 37, very bright, you know, high profile woman. We had introduced her to someone, and they wound up, you know, getting married, and they most recently had a child. And she had, you know, said to me, you know, because she had never really had a relationship. She dated, but nothing really significant. And she said that she finally feels like a blonde. And to me, that was like the best moment of my matchmaking. So, you know, that you can really impact somebody and make them, you know, even though, you know, everyone creates their own happiness, but that you could help. And that did lead to a lot of business growth for our company, just working hard and doing a good job for somebody. Of course, there's a lot of luck, that especially in my line of work, you know, stars have to like align as well for it to work out. But, you know, I think that was just an example of just like really working hard and doing a good job for somebody and them walking away very, very happy and it positively impacting our business.
Brooke, are there places as you were developing your business where you hit unexpected roadblocks?
Yes, I think we definitely are pretty careful in terms of who we take on as clients. Like, is this somebody that, you know, we can have a good relationship with, we could do good work for, we have, you know, people who would be good matches. But, you know, sometimes you can make mistakes and take on a client that is not a good fit for your business. And, you know, that can cause a roadblock because you spend a lot of time. And not just the time that you spend, but it also, you know, it can lessen your morale if you're having issues with a client and kind of you know, make it, you not see all the positives that are developing with other clients because you have, you know, a couple of bad clients that you wish, you know, you didn't take on. So, you know, that's what I would say were roadblocks, where we had thought that certain clients would have been easier, but had we known, we would have never taken them on. So I think those are roadblocks. The other roadblocks are, you know, personnel. It's a very difficult career. There aren't a lot of people who are very good at it. And when I mean good at it, they, you know, have a very large network. They know a lot of, you know, good people, and they're able to bring on clients as well as good matches for clients. So a lot of time, you know, we have had a lot of people who are completely passionate about it and love it, but they can work and bang their head against the wall, but they're unable to do it. And it was very hard, but we had to let those people go. Even though, you know, they worked so hard, but they couldn't, you know, get the job done. So it's not a business where you can hide behind things, you know, like it's just, you know, it's easy to see, but it's difficult to make changes when it comes to personnel. And I think that's pretty common. A lot of people will say that, but it's true. You wind up sticking it out longer with somebody hoping that they'll get better. But you know, you want to mentor them and help them, but sometimes you have to, you know, cut some ties.
What kinds of changes did you make in the way you do things as a result of these roadblocks?
Unfortunately, you're still going to make mistakes on clients you take on. But we try to really, you know, table it across a few different people, like my COO and another woman who works with me directly in matching, and really are like, what do you think here? You know, like we try to really put even more time and thought into who, you know, working with client. And in terms of changes from the roadblocks, you know, it changing people's roles, you know, like realizing what somebody is not good at and trying them at something else and seeing, you know, so that's kind of helped a bit.
Mm-hmm. That's also a creative approach. Not everybody does.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. No, this business is the most creative business you could be. I'm just kidding. But no, it's definitely, and also seeing, like, if somebody excels at one thing, you know, is it, you know, I always envision that, you know, you have to be able to do both, the matching as well as the client relations as well as the sales component. But there are some people who are really good at one, and, you know, and that could be, if you allow them to run with that, that could really work.
Which takes some creativity and flexibility on the part of management to be able to recognize that and shift people around and try different things.
Yeah. But it is harder at larger corporations, I'm sure. I mean, we're small. So, you know, it's very obvious when someone's, like, struggling with something, you know? So even though it's obvious, it's still difficult because somebody, when they're working so hard at something, they want to do it, you know? Like, and that's the other thing you have to, you know, it's like, you know, so it's not a matter of them working hard. They just are having, they're having issues doing it. So you can, it's obviously not the right role for them.
Right. Brooke, what's one of the hardest things you tried to do in your life?
In my life?
Yeah.
The hardest thing I tried to do in my, starting this business was the hardest thing I've done in my life. So, yeah, I would say that, definitely. It's a lot easier to work for somebody else. You don't have as many responsibilities. You know, so yeah, I really will say this is the hardest thing.
And where have you found some valuable help along the way?
My husband is actually, I know people say, like, you know, you want to kind of keep your professional and your, you know, it's too much when, you know, but he's been very, very helpful. You know, he's a lawyer by background, but, like, gives a very good perspective on things. So I definitely bounce a lot of things off of him. And I feel like he, you know, gives me really good advice.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so that I found is, like, his, you know, it gives me a different way of thinking about something, and has, you know, very good insights into, like, you know, because what I'm doing, it's all about understanding people, and, you know, he has a very, very good sense for that. And so he's been very helpful in terms of when I get stuck in something, you know, diverting me to doing something else.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. But you have to be careful. Like, you don't want it to be like, you know, your business relationship is, you know, very different than your relationship with your spouse, obviously. So, you know, I try to separate that, you know, like, if I'm fighting with him about something about the business, it's not personal. It's about, even though the business is personal, it's about the business. So, you know, that's, and another big thing is, like, for me separating it, because my hours are a bit erratic. So I have to set hours that I'm not working, because, you know, I have to, and I think that's very important where you're separating, you know, your business from your life.
So how do you do that?
I don't, you know, I have, you know, because I, you know, my, in the mornings, I'm not as, you know, as crazy as I am, you know, towards like at the end of the workday when people more can talk to me, or at night. So in the morning, I try to, you know, make time to, you know, to do something active, whether it be a workout or playing a sport. So I try to do that because that really helps, you know, my productivity, you know, for the rest of the day. And then when it's family time, like, you know, dinner and homework, you know, those hours, you know, my phone is on vibrate, you know, like, and it's not around me, my phone. So,
out of sight, out of mind.
What'd you say?
Out of sight, out of mind. Right, right. No,
yeah,
exactly. A lot of business owners struggle with creating boundaries between business and personal. And, you know, one of the issues that we hear when we ask people who are business owners how they would define success, it's often a healthier work-life balance. So even businesses that have fairly structured hours, the business owners are working all the time. They're thinking about business all the time. And trying to create a separation, both a physical separation and an emotional separation, is really challenging.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I used to do a lot on the weekends, too, because, of course, you know, a lot of people want to talk if they're dating, or they want to talk on the weekends, and it really would, you know, because sometimes what I'm talking about is not so uplifting, you know, like people have bad dates or like and you know, the weekends, you know, if it's not something where it can't be tabled to like Monday, you know, I definitely am not available all the time on the weekends. You know, if someone's having a situation and they really, really need to talk to me, you know, I'm available. But, you know, it's like you can't be all things to everyone, and you have to have a life, and you have to have a weekend, and you have to spend time with your family, and, you know, it can wait. You know, it's not like I'm curing, you know, brain cancer over here.
Although your business is very personal, and a crisis is a crisis in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it was in the very beginning of the business, like the first year, as every business owner will tell you, you work all the time. You're, you know, very in the first year, but it was very draining to not have a break and to be working on the weekends. And, you know, it's you got to set limits.
Brooke, who have been some of the people who have listened to you as you've gone through your struggles? Brooke, have there been some changes in the way your business functions as a result of some unexpected either feedback from the marketplace or different ways that the business has progressed and grown as a result of some unexpected occurrences?
I mean, the business I'm in is always changing. I think, you know, with all of the online and different apps and the things that make it, you know, I'm in a high-end space where I charge, you know, a fee that's not at all obviously comparable to online, or that there's free. And, you know, I think, you know, for us, it's never, for us, the biggest thing is we never wavered on our price or went down on our price or anything, because we're very different from all those other, you know, ways of meeting somebody. And, you know, I think that by separating from that, like, I know a lot of matchmakers who embrace the online and offer, you know, ways to fix your profile or different things that are lower end versions of their businesses. And we stayed very firm to not doing that, because we believe in what we do and that this is the way we think is effective and how we can help people the best. So I think that's helped us by not, you know, knowing, obviously knowing the other ways, but not trying to, you know, offer that or, a lower end version of your business, because, you know, we were pure to matchmaking.
You know, it's interesting that you have a business that you started at a time when the economy wasn't so great, with a high price point, and I would imagine also high value to the clients, and have been successful without having any variation in your pricing model. This is an area actually that many business owners, particularly when they're starting out, struggle with, and they don't persist long enough with their pricing model to penetrate their market.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think, you know, our price point is $10,000 a year. So, but, you know, there's no negotiating with it. You know, that's our price. You know, like, if anything, we'd like to raise our price, but we haven't. And a big thing is, when that's your price. Like, you don't you're not making excuses or reasons or trying to justify, you know, like if you go into, I don't know, Banana Republic and you see a shirt, it's a certain price, that's the price of the shirt. You know,
right.
Like, you don't go to the counter and say, how about I give you, you know, like 10% off of that. You know, like, that's just, it's just, they'd laugh at you.
I think it works, whatever your price point is, you've got to feel confident that it's the right price.
Yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. Brooke, what are you working on now that you're most excited about?
You know, I think for us, we're excited about, a lot of developments with clients that we have. Like, I'm going to a wedding this weekend. We have a client that we're expecting to get engaged in a few weeks, and we have a lot of clients who are, you know, in good relationships. So we're really excited about that, because for us that means, you know, more business. We're also working with new people who have different networks, and we're hoping to bring them on to work with us and refer, you know, more people to our network and more clients, and so new relationships for us. We are toying with doing some events, though we've struggled with events in the past because we do one-on-one setups, but, you know, we're always looking for the right, you know, format for that. And, you know, we have a few venues who are wanting to do things for us, and, you know, that's always good because it can attract more clients and, more people to the business. And we just redid our website, so we're happy about that. And, you know, we're...
It looks great, by the way.
Oh, thanks. We do a lot of blogging. I guess the biggest thing with us is we'd like it to get more, where more people read it. So we haven't quite figured that out, because we don't do PR or anything like that. We are working with, you know, different distribution lists that we have to, you know, get more people to, you know, to read our stuff and engage, because that's sometimes difficult, because we're a matchmaking company, so we have a Facebook and things, and we blog, but a lot of people don't necessarily like or comment on it because they don't want to, like, reveal that they like a matchmaker site or that they're reading it. So that's kind of, you know, tough. But yeah, for me, it's always, every day is exciting. It really is, because things are constantly changing, getting connected to new people, and talking to, you know, new potential clients, and then, you know, getting people into relationships. But it's also always trying to stay current and realize when things are changing and different dynamics, and, you know, you can't be doing things the same way if they're not working. And it's constantly, you know, reinventing yourself and reinventing things you're doing. And I like that.
It sounds very exciting. It sounds like a great, great and exciting business.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Well, Brooke, thank you for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been Brooke Wise, who is the founder of Wise Matchmaking. Thank you again, Brooke, for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com and join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.